preaches to our hearts. Brother Tom.
Thank you, sir. If you have a Bible tonight, I'm interested in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. We've enjoyed the good singing tonight. We appreciate you that have come tonight. Tonight's headache night. If you can make it tonight, you can make it the rest of them. Thank the Lord for you preachers that have come and honored us with your presence tonight. We do not take it lightly that you would take the time to come and be in this service. We began on yesterday and want to continue tonight preaching on the subject of the call of God, the call of God. And in order to study this subject, you would almost think that God wrote the Bible and just fixed it up where we could study the subject. There is 6 different occasions in the Bible where he double name calls people. He calls their name twice. Of course, I don't know how it was with you. Whenever my mom and dad called my name twice, it was not to congratulate me. It was not to tell me what a good job I had been doing. But it was to help me. And we looked at a couple of those on yesterday. We looked at that double name call of Saul, Saul. And brought some thoughts on yesterday morning on the call to salvation. Call to salvation. Then on last evening, we looked at that call in 2 Samuel of Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, and brought some thoughts on a call to sorrow, a call to sorrow. I want us to turn our attention again tonight to another time when our Lord would call somebody by a double name call. You've got your Bible tonight. I hope you do. It's hard to study one if you don't have one. Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 38. I'd like to look at this text tonight and look at the call to service. The call to service. Bible says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha,'" there's that double name call, "'thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Our Lord, not by accident, but with divine purpose, will take these two ladies that are both very close in friendship to him and use them to contrast two ideas of serving God, of which are still among us tonight. I'm sure that this house is full of Marthas and maybe one or two Marys in the group. There is an idea tonight, and we call it serving God, when we make a little old profession write some little old birth date in the front of our Bible, get baptized and join the church and start coming over here two or three times a week and maybe even jump in here and sing a little bit in the choir and maybe even just go off the deep end and teach a Sunday school class. We call it serving the Lord. It was that which Martha was involved in. I don't know if you can get this or not. It may be awful deep. May be over your head. But I'm interested tonight in looking at a difference between religion and relationship. Some of you tonight ain't got nothing but religion. You have no relationship with God. But I do tip my hat to you. You sure are busy in it. But I tell you what, it'll give you no advantage when you get over there. He's not impressed with it at all. Matter of fact, it's making him rather sick at his stomach. He said, before it's over with, he's going to spit you out. That Martha idea of religion versus the Mary idea of religion. I thought it was interesting, this call to service. Paul said over in 1 Corinthians, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that called you is the Lord. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. If you want to get free tonight, I mean free as a bird in the Holy Ghost, become a slave to God. Become his fetch it boy. Just do whatever he wants you to do. Serving him. Notice as we look at this text tonight, as we look first of all at Martha's idea of service, I notice that we're first of all confronted with the barrenness of busyness. The barrenness of busyness. I notice in our text in verse number 40, this barrenness causes self-centeredness. The Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. I would remind you tonight that Martha was very busy for the Lord. She was busy, 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 busy serving her Jesus. But it was all barren. And I noticed that it led to self-centeredness. The Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came unto him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my, I didn't know if you'd see that word or not, I thought I'd underline it, sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me. You'd almost think Martha's eat up with herself. That's why a lot of you tonight that are so faithful to this church come here all the time. That's how come you have a lot of problems with hurt feelings. I tell you, they really hurt me. You got religion, you ain't got no relationship. Are you listening to me tonight? The barrenness of busyness. Matter of fact, she confronts the Lord about his care. She said, doest thou not care? That little word care, it has the idea of being interested, being concerned. She asked the Lord, doesn't it matter to you? is the God of all. Can you imagine asking the God of all care if he cares? Huh? See, that busyness of religion will lead you to zoom in on yourself. I tell you, I'm about the only one right here knowing much. Ain't nobody knowing nothing but me. I tell you, I'm about the only one really singing out in the choir. I tell you, I'm about the only one really teaching Sunday school. Huh? I tell you what, you ain't got nothing but religion. It's barrenness. It'll lead you to zoom in on me. Zoom in on yourself. She says here that her sister left her alone. Has the idea of being singled out, the sole one, the mere only one. Oh, I tell you, it is one of the greatest breakdowns in the church. One of the greatest breakdowns in marriage. One of the greatest breakdowns in employee-employer relationships. The barrenness of busyness. Having religion versus having a relationship. Of course, you know what the average Baptist church is anyway, don't you? It's like a football game. 80,000 people watching 22 others do it all. You know, I've been around Trinity long enough to know that there ain't but a handful of you doing anything. Rest of you riding the coattail of it all. Huh? You listening to me tonight? Only reason you got anything is because a handful of people around here doing it. And you got the audacity to say this is your church. Barrenness of busyness. Religion. It leads and causes self-centeredness. But I notice in our text that this barrenness, not only does it cause self-centeredness, but it causes serving cumbered. He says in the text, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That little word cumbered there is an interesting word. It means to reduce to idle inactivity. No forward progress. Wow, there's some of you here tonight been saved for years and you've not made any forward progress with God at all. You don't know a bit more about the Bible than you did when you started. Wow, some of you right sitting right here now ain't got a Bible with you. Huh? You talk about going to heaven? Oh, gracious, you'll run right by it. Are you listening to me? To reduce to idle. The little word cumbered means to draw away from a distance, from the most important. It means to be overoccupied. It reminds me of a deep Oriental proverb. He who has many irons in fire will sooner or later burn his hands. There's some of you awful busy tonight doing nothing eternally. Eternally. And you know what? The crazy thing is, it's wearing you out. You tired doing it. I was just wondering if you getting tired of it. Just getting tired of it. Just had it right up to here with the whole outfit. Barrenness of busyness. Of course, you know tonight, not everybody has got to do my thing. But you better get a hold of his thing. Because he did mention in verse 42, but there is one thing that is important. Said it's the only thing that really matters to him. It doesn't matter to him. He's not excited if you're singing up here in the choir. He's not excited tonight if you're here for all the services. He's not excited if you're throwing him 10%. Not his thing. He said, but I do have a thing. He said, just that one thing. He said, it's so important to me. He called it this one thing. I wonder tonight if we would take a few moments and examine ourselves and see if spiritually in the serving world now, if we would just be honest and say tonight, I am extremely busy doing nothing, doing nothing. Watch the text if you're still with me. Not only do we see the barrenness of busyness, but we see in verse number 41 the beseeching of binding. The beseeching of binding. I notice that this beseeching here involves a call of conflict. He says in verse number 41, Martha, Martha. He stops her dead in her tracks. I was a-wondering tonight, when is the last time you had God call your hand and say, you know what, you busy doing nothing. When the last time you had God call your hand about wasting time? You ever watched a TV program? And after it goes off, you sit there and say, well, that's a pretty good program. And you feel the Holy Ghost whisper to you, say, waste of time. Waste of a good hour. I hate it when he does it. Man, I enjoyed the program. He didn't. He said it was a waste. A waste. There's a call to conflict. I don't know about you, I'll not testify for you tonight, but I cherish those moments when he has conflicted with me, called my hand on wasting spiritual time, busy doing nothing tonight. Oh, it is that which will cause us to grow. It'll cause us to move from having religion to having a relationship. A relationship. The call of conflict. But I notice this beseeching of binding not only involves a call of conflict, but it involves a call of correction. Go point some things out to Martha about her business. He says in verse number 41, he said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That little word careful there means to be anxious or worried about, to be distracted. I was a wondering night, didn't you hear word about anything? Careful, he called it. Anxious. Oh, it's very easy tonight to get anxious and careful about making a living. You better quit it. There's some of you young people in here tonight, better quit trying to make a living. It's going to kill you. You better learn how to live. If you ever learn how to live, making a living will come easy. Are you listening to me? I had no ability to teach my three boys how to make a living. I couldn't get a job at Walmart as a greeter. Had no trades. So what I did, I just walked the life of God in front of them. And I taught them how to live. They all making a living. Are you listening to me tonight? We're busy making a living. You've never learned how to live. See, Martha was extremely busy. She was careful. What was she careful about? The Bible says that she was careful about many things. That little word things, the little word literally means thoughts that are poured forth in actions. And our Lord said there was many of them. There was multiple things. I mean, Martha was busy doing everything. Oh, great. I love this little old part of it. He said, there are troubled about many things. That little word trouble means a disturbance, a turbulence. It means a agitating disturbance. The study of that word, it's sort of like our picture of the chicken with his head cut off. Did you know that the Lord looks at some of y'all and you remind him of a chicken with your head cut off? I love this one. The little pictures of a dog chasing his tail. You ever see a dog chase his tail? He don't ever catch it. Some of you come over here 3 or 4 times a week, so 10%. You got your birthday written in the front of your Bible. Ain't going nowhere, though. He said, Martha, he said, you remind me of a chicken with his head cut off. He said, you remind me of a dog chasing his tail. Oh, she was so busy. So busy doing nothing. And you know what? I guarantee you, if Martha to come in here tonight, you know what first thing she'd say? I tell you, I'm wore slap out. I tell you, I'm so tired. I guarantee you when Mary come in here, she'd probably come in here like that. She'd come in dancing a jig. You're free. Don't let us forget, though, that Martha did grow in her life. I thought it was interesting. I'll just mention this briefly because it's been a blessing to me. Hold your finger right there just for a second. John's Gospel, chapter number 12. There was some changes. Of course, there had to be some startling occasions in Martha's life. In John chapter 12, in verse number 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. She is serving here again, but she ain't whining about it. She ain't, she ain't chasing her tail. Wonder why. Of course, her brother did die. You know, when you get into situations where you have to look at the eternal versus the temporal, things can really change on you. Things can really change on you. You can really see what is important. See, the eternal world has reached into the temporal world of Martha, and it has changed her outlook on some things. She's come to the point where she said to herself, I'm going to stop chasing my tail. I'm quitting it. Tired of it. Busy. Doing nothing. Of course, I do remind you from the scripture, if you've got your Bible there, John chapter 11. Truth is what has steadied Martha's course. She has had a strong relationship with the Word of God. God said some things to her. I thought it was interesting in John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, this is Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now watch this. In verse 26, Jesus, I believe, you don't have to agree with me, Jesus made the most unbelievable statement in all the Bible to Martha. Watch the statement he made to her. He said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." He said, "Martha," he said, "if you'll believe in me," he said, "you'll never die." He said, "You'll live forever." And then he asked her this question. He said, "Believest thou this?" Truth steadied her course. She began to look away from the temporal, all of those things that she had busied herself in. I was wondering, how much time have you spent today in temporal things, things that are not going to last forever? Would you say the majority of your hours has been spent in that today? Preacher, what has that been? Did you catch anything? Are you listening to me tonight? Beseeching of binding. Part of our service tonight, part of our growth tonight, steadying of our course is our contact with truth tonight. Our contact with truth, both personally and publicly. There must be contact with truth. Go back to our text, and I'll try to wind it up. If you've got that text, Luke chapter number 10. Could I mention a thing or two about Mary tonight? Not only do we see the barrenness of busyness, we see the beseeching of binding, but I see the beauty of bowing, the beauty of bowing. In Luke's gospel chapter number 10 and verse number 39, I notice the place of Mary's bowing. She had a sister called Mary, verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet. What kind of service did Mary offer? Did she offer? No. She just got at his feet and listened, took it in. Sitting at his feet. It is a position of humility. It's a position of getting under one's authority. It is a low position. There will not be a lot of activity. Be it me doing something. Getting at his feet, the lowest position. I was thinking about this again today. Do you know all of the people, all of the men of the Bible that ever give Jesus fits and gave God fits were people who were busy in the field? Ishmael, you know what he was? Hunter. He loved the dirt. He loved the good old outdoors. Esau gave him fits, probably in hail tonight. Hunter, loved the good old outdoors. Peter, took him years to knock his block off. Fisherman, loved the field, loved the outdoors. Do you know that without exception, every great woman in the Bible that God greatly used was always at his feet. At his feet. The Bible tells us that Deborah worshipped him prostrate at his feet. The Bible tells us that Hannah was found at the temple bowing at the Lord's feet. Ruth was found that night at Boaz's feet. Mary, the mother of Jesus, do you remember the last major time in the Bible that we saw her? Where was she at? She was standing at his feet at the cross. This Mary here, she is mentioned three times in the Bible. All three times she is at his feet. At his feet. At his feet. Matter of fact, her name means bitter woman. That's what Mary means, bitter one. But do you know what she decided to do? She decided not to live up to her name. She decided instead of being bitter, she's just going to bow. Oh, I like that, don't you? She was a woman at his feet. But watch not only the place of her bowing. Notice the purpose of her bowing. The Bible says that in verse 39 that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. It means to give the ear to give the attention to. I didn't know if you know this or not. It has been amazing to me, and it's just thrilled me. Now, I grant you, I've only found a few of them. Every church has just got a few. But I am finding as I travel 300 nights a year, there is a group of people in Baptist churches now. They have gone off the deep end. They're reading their Bible every day. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And then there is another little group. They have thrown caution to the wind. I mean, they have gone out in left field. They're studying it every day. Do you know anything about that? I was wondering tonight, being honest with me. Would you be honest with me? How many of you would raise your hand tonight that you were raised up in a family where your daddy or your mama, on a consistent basis, maybe not every day, but it was pretty consistent, read the Bible to you on a constant time? Look at that. Number of hands. Number of hands. I'm not going to do it tonight, but I was wondering if I was to ask your kids to stand tonight all over this building, mom and daddy, on a consistent basis, read the Bible to you daily. Wonder how many of your kids would look at me like, what in the world is he talking about? Read the Bible to us? Teach us the Bible? Well, that's what we got Brother Moneyham for. We're paying him money to do that. Yeah, they're going to hell while you pay him some money. It's your responsibility, not his responsibility. It is my responsibility. If you're saved, it is your responsibility to get in this book every day and eat it. Eat it. Eat it. She sat at Jesus' feet, heard his word. Matter of fact, in verse number 42, he tells Martha, but one thing is needful. Don't feel too bad if you not a foot person. There's only three people in this club in the Bible, the one thing club. Oh, it's a small group. David joined. He said in Psalms 27, one thing have I desired, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire and behold your holiness. God said that was one thing he wanted out of. He's not impressed you singing in the choir. He ain't impressed you come over here 3 or 4 times a week. He ain't impressed that you've written some birthday in front of your Bible. He ain't impressed you chunking 10%. Only thing that impresses him is that one thing. Spending time in his intimate presence, in his word, in prayer, study of the word of God. Old Paul joined that club. He said in Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark. Surely Mary has joined this club. Three times she's mentioned. Every time she's mentioned, she's at his feet. The first time that we see her at his feet, she's wanting the word. The second time she is at his feet, she is in wonder at the funeral of her brother when he raises him from the dead. And the third time she's at his feet, she's busted an alabaster box and she's worshiping him at his feet. You know what he said about her? He said over in Mark's gospel, he said, I want every time the gospel's preached, mention Mary. He said, she's been memorialized in my heart because she was chasing her tail. Oh, no. She did this one thing. She spent intimate time in my presence. She spent time wanting to hear the word. I was wondering tonight, do you have religion? Do you have relationship? If you've got a relationship with God tonight, there ought to have been some time you spent in his presence today. Praying, studying the word of God, growing, taking it in, lifting it up to him. Is this a picture of your Christianity? I was thinking again today, this call to service. There's a little chorus that's been stuck in my heart here lately. It is such a beautiful picture and a demonstration of those who truly have a relationship with God. I was wondering if you knowed anything about this little chorus. It so describes one who has truly been saved, has a relationship with God, doesn't have religion, he's got a relationship. Here's how the little chorus goes. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. You can make all the professions you want to. You can write your little old birthday in the front of your Bible. But if you're not walking with him and talking with him, he's not whispering to you and telling you that you are his very own and y'all are not having intimate joy of fellowship tonight. You've got religion and not a relationship. Could I ask you a nosy question in closing? Are you a field person or a feet person? Have you been at his feet today? Or have you been busy? Matter of fact, I tell you, war slap out. He said, there's only one thing that is impressing him. A real call to service is an intimate fellowship with him. Would you stand with us tonight? Father, I've delivered what you told me to deliver. Lord, I want to be a foot person. Lord, I realize that I'm going to have to make an effort to be a feet person. Lord, I realize I'm going to have to make a choice. Lord, I do realize that there will be occasions where I'll have to set my clock that would cause me to arise earlier than I normally would arise so that I could get at your feet. Do this one thing. Lord, I realized when I was raising my boys that I had to get the Word of God to them. Bathe them in the Word of God. saturate their minds with the Word of God. They would not be able to stand up to the temptations of this world. Oh God, would it be possible, oh Lord, that you would call out a double name call to some man in this building tonight? Ask him to put more of his time into this one thing. Maybe some lady tonight would feel an impression to spend more time in prayer and the Word of God. Real service to you. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe sis would come.